it's not so damn late, so I can do this time. Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. I'm not going to wake up my neighbors by yelling and screaming. I am Ron Luce. I am joined by the great Mr. Tyler Edmonds here tonight. Unfortunately, we're joining it after a Cubs loss and ultimately a series loss, but it's always a pleasure being on the microphone with this handsome man. Tyler, buddy, happy Wednesday, happy hump day. How are you doing, my friend?
Happy hump day. Physically, health-wise, I'm good. Could be better as far as a Cubs fan right now. Kind of sucks, but hey, we're here. I'm here, man.
I feel that. Yeah, you know, this is a weird week because I think a lot of Cubs fans are sitting here after this series just kind of on the surface, because I'm right there with you. Health-wise, I'm great. Had a great home-cooked dinner tonight. You know, first one in the new place. So for those that might be looking and are like, where's David Ross? I'm in a new building now. I'm no longer in the old basement anymore. We've upgraded now, and we are now over at the place literally just down the street from Wrigley. I am about a 25-minute walk from Wrigley Field, straight up Clark. So, you know, new look, new place. And physically we're doing good, Tyler. I'm right there with you. But it's a weird time to be a Cubs fan, I think, right now. And this series definitely has people – teetering on the edge of this team's really good and like, what is going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I said it earlier tonight. It's like, this is one of those games where I wish there was a Sluggers in my little town, because I could use some good music right now and just a few rounds in the batting cage just to let it out. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Just to let it out, and then maybe, you know, finish off with a beer or two just to, all right, and just erase it, forget about it. But yeah, I hear you, Ron. This team can be good. This team 100%. Can be good. We're just in a spot right now where we've gotten punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. We've gotten punched in the face. What do we do? Yeah. What are we going to do? So that's where I feel like right now.
Indeed. Well put, my friend. So obviously, for those that watched the game, maybe you didn't watch the game, it was an early one. It was a little weird. It was a 5:40 Central Daylight Time start for those that are in the Chicagoland area. If you're like Juice, this was still a 6:40 game a little bit later. Speaking of Juice and our friend Nick, they were live late last night. You might have been asleep when they went live. If you want to go listen to their show, them talking about a W, a lot more upbeat. Get to talk about a good Ben Brown start, Christopher Morel Grand Slam, things like that. Be sure to go check out our latest episode of Cubs on Tap as well. Maybe after you watch this show, or watch them sequentially. However you want to do it, you can do it. But this one was a tough one, Kyler, as we mentioned already. It's a 10-2 loss to the Padres. Padres still a game below 500 despite a series win here against the Cubs. The Cubbies are still two games above 500. So again, we alluded to this. This is a weird Cubs team, right? They still have a winning record. We're only 12 games into the season, but I think a lot of people have a lot of questions about this team. And Tyler, let's start about one of those questions, because this was one that I'll be honest and admitted. I stayed quiet about it during the offseason because I didn't want to be berated by other Cubs fans. But when the rumors and reports came out about Kyle Hendricks getting an extension, my first thought was, that's not a good idea. And everybody's like, what do you mean? Like, Kyle should die a Cub and blah, blah, blah. And sure, Kyle Hendricks is forever a Cub. He was part of the 16 team. He's beloved. He's everybody enjoys him. But there was times over the last 2-3 years now where we're like, eventually this age is going to catch up with him. He can't throw even as hard as he used to consistently. You know, the command's not as there anymore. He's battled some serious health issues. That's why they picked up the one-year option with him. And they said, hey, we're going to do right by you. We're going to give you the $16.5 million option, and we're going to go from there. Kyle Hendricks has had a rough start to the year. You said it yourself, Tyler, when we were talking a little bit in the pre-show. At least 5 earned runs in each of his 3 starts so far to begin this season. Tonight, he gives up 7 earned as a part of the loss here against the Padres. Doesn't walk anybody, but only struck out 2, gave up 2 long balls as well. 5-plus innings. He did pitch into the 6th. But was unable to record an out. I don't think this is necessarily the time where I'm going to sit here and say Kyle Hendricks shouldn't be on this roster. But I do think this is the time that as soon as Jameson Taillon potentially gets back, or even once Justin Steele gets back, who would you rather have in the rotation, Ben Brown or Kyle Hendricks? I might say Ben Brown right now, Tyler.
Especially after watching last night. Yes, Ben Brown. I'm kind of with you, Ron. I didn't want to be that guy this offseason as soon as they did that extension with Kyle Hendricks. As far as, oh man, we shouldn't be doing this right now. Is this a good idea? Especially with, I get it, Kyle. Kyle's our guy. Kyle's everyone's always. Guy. He'll always be that. Last season and the season before, this roster, it's like they had the room for him to do that. As far as what he's doing right now, they had the room for that. If that happened now, it's a time where if this team is going to be competing for a division title, I just don't see it down the road. I don't see that with Kyle Hendricks the way he's pitching right now on this team. And tonight, even the hard contact, just everything, just it wasn't there. I hate to say it, but you've got to. There's just a time. I know you want to take care of your guys, the guys mm-hmm. that bring in the championships and all that kind of stuff. But there's a time where you've got to say, hey, thanks, but that'll do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look back to 2021. They kind of did that with Jake Arrieta as well, right? They brought him back. They said, hey, we need an arm. And he looked really good for the month of April. And then the wheels kind of fell off in May. And I mean, he was DFA'd before the All-Star break. So mm-hmm. I don't think Kyle Hendricks is going to get DFA'd. I don't think he's pitching that horrendously. But I think there's a total possibility in a world where he could be really effective in like a one inning role, right? You bring him out and you get that change of velocity and you let him throw that change up when he's fresh. Maybe that's his role the rest of this year. And maybe that's just what this Cubs team needs from him, especially with some of the bullpen questions right now.
Yeah. Well, hey, you just brought up a guy in Ben Brown where maybe you throw Ben Brown for five or six innings. And then maybe you need that guy, that seventh inning guy or the sixth inning guy to give the ball over to your eighth and ninth inning guys. Maybe Kyle Hendricks is that guy for a guy like Ben Brown who hovers around 98. Maybe I know Luke Little hasn't gone far in games. He's mainly just been used as a reliever. I know he was used as a starter the other day. Maybe you throw him after an inning of Luke Little's 98, 99 mile an hour gas.
Sure.
That could be something that could work. But as far as like the long inning roles, I don't see it being very effective for him right now.
Yeah, I think at
and
this
it
point,
sucks saying that. It really it sucks saying that. I hate saying that. It's like, you know, it's just like stabbing your good friend in the back or something. I just hate it. I hate those words coming out of my mouth, but it just is what it is. It just is what it is.
Yeah, no, I totally feel that. And I want to get to some of the comments, Tyler, because they're very relevant here to what we're discussing. Nicholas H. says, sup guys, like Juice and I said last night, this is Nick Hudson, for those that don't know. Didn't realize your YouTube image was a shark there, buddy, but I like it. But like he says last night, he and Juice talked about it late on that show. Again, highly recommend you guys go and listen to Juice and Nick. They're always a fun listen. He said, it's kind of feeling like they're choosing nostalgia over winning. He loves Kyle Hendricks. But yikes. And I think that's very much a sentiment I saw throughout Cubs Twitter as well throughout this game, Tyler. Friends of the program, Alex Pat, our boy Mike Dubs, a lot of people kind of asking that same question of like, what is the future here for a guy like Kyle Hendricks? And then Filmmaker12 a little bit earlier said, I hate to say this, but I have little to no faith in Kyle Hendricks moving forward. He looks gassed, tough watching him struggle. Maybe time to hang it up, ? Yeah, maybe. He says that being a Cubs fan shouldn't be this stressful, or maybe it should be. I think it should be. It's part of the fun of being a Cubs fan. But Tyler, I think it's a fair question to be had here of just what does the future look like for Kyle Hendricks? And I think right now, while Justin Steele and Jameson Taillon are on the shelf, it's no question he's a starter. It just you have a guy that can give you length. You need that guy right now before you burn out your bullpen any more than you already have. Mm-hmm. But again, once Justin Steele's fully healthy, which it seems like he's trending incredibly well to get back to that point, once a Jameson Taillon gets healthy, which is hopefully at the latest by May, once you get these two guys back into the rotation, then I think a guy like Ben Brown is very fair of maybe he stays in the rotation and mm-hmm. Kyle Hendricks takes a back seat, right? Because, you know, again, Ben Brown's been effective and he's on a pitch count right now. What happens once they kind of take the training wheels off for a guy like Ben Brown and he can go maybe 90 pitches? Maybe he's not always going to go to 100, but even if you get five consistent innings from a guy like Ben Brown and at 90 plus pitches, maybe he's really efficient one night and gives you like 5 2/3 or six. Mm-hmm. At least you know he's a guy who's only going to maybe give up one or two earned versus a guy like Hendricks right now who it feels like is just throwing batting practice to these opposing teams. Yeah, it's tough, but
yeah, but and also real quick, don't forget about Hayden Wesneski too. I mean, mm-hmm. we haven't seen anything really from him yet. He's another guy that was talked about at the beginning of hell during the Cubs convention. Like Craig Counsell was all over him about just the potential of that guy. So maybe he's another guy that gets into the mix and another guy that could cost Kyle Hendricks a starting spot.
Maybe. Absolutely. Certainly something to keep in mind. Hayden Wesneski, for those that are curious, maybe you don't follow the minor leagues as closely as you do the major leagues. He has been starting games for Iowa. So he has been one of their starters to begin this season. So that'll certainly be something that we'll keep an eye on here at Cubs on Tap. Tyler, I think another little note here, don't have to dive too far into it, but of course it's Dylan Cease too tonight, who just looked phenomenal.
He did.
Six innings of work for him. Just the two earned runs on the Michael Busch two-run homer, which we're going to talk a little bit about Michael Busch here in a moment. But again, the runs weren't considered earned, so he effectively had a flawless game. But two walks and seven Ks. So he's brought his ERA down now to 2.16 on the season, and he improves to 1-1 on the year after coming in 0-1 in this one. But Tyler, let's talk about the guy that hit the two-run jack off Dylan Cease here tonight. That's Michael Busch. A guy who very much has flown under the radar because, like you and I pointed out in our pre-show discussion, you have three players on this team right now hovering right around 300. Ian Happ's hitting 298. Seiya Suzuki's hitting 298. Christopher Morel's hitting 298. But Michael Busch is sitting right there, hits in the five spot today, 270 batting average, 850 OPS early on in the season, and had a hell of a night tonight. Really was the offense largely for the Cubs. He goes 1-for-2 officially in this game with that home run and two walks. So he gets on base three times out of his four trips to the plate. A guy who I know a lot of people had question marks for, and again, because of just the high power nature of this Cubs team. Fun fact on that note, Cubs are the number two scoring offense entering today. Obviously, this just now changed since this graphic came out this afternoon, but they are the number two offense in baseball entering play today. The other two teams that are sandwiching them at 1-3, the Dodgers and the Padres, who played three additional games than the Cubs, and they were only seven runs back of the Dodgers for first place. So this offense has been electric the first 12 games of the season. But Michael Busch has very much kind of flown under the radar, and a guy that you made a pretty sick graphic for, and our friend Mr. Mitch has made a sick graphic for over at Dingers, Michael Busch is looking really good right now, hitting in the kind of that 5-6 spot in this lineup on a consistent basis.
It's great to see just the quality. I think me and Juice talked about it on Sunday as far as with his Dodgers series, just the quality of at-bats that he's had so far, like with questions. He was a guy that, everybody was excited when we got him, but just had a lot of questions coming in as far as like what he's going to be. And so far he's shown to be a consistent hitter in this lineup that just has basically taken over that first base spot, and I don't see him losing it anytime soon. Just from the kinds of at bats that he's had so far, an 800 plus OPS, it's impressive, and a 300 plus on base percentage. I mean, what more can you ask for a guy that really, really has not had much experience in the majors at all? Yeah, I mean, he was stuck behind Freddie Freeman with the Dodgers, but it's encouraging to see, and it's awesome to see. And I don't see him losing that first base spot anytime soon.
Yeah, agreed. And not only is he hitting and delivering when he's in the lineup every single day, but again, even defensively, outside of really that first game when he had that one pick that you could have made the argument that he could have made, overall, he's been very solid at first base. We're not sitting here banging the drum saying, oh, get this guy off of first base, he can't play first base. So he's been impressive. And yeah, Tyler, to your point, right, a guy who a lot of people weren't sure what they were going to get coming in, you know, last year with the Dodgers, just 27 games, only 72 full at-bats. But he had 9 runs scored, 12 hits, 3 two-baggers, a pair of homers, and 7 RBI with 8 walks, 27 strikeouts, though, and a very putrid 539 OPS. In 12 games already this season, 5 runs scored on 10 hits, 2 doubles, 2 homers, 7 RBI, 6 walks, only 11 Ks. And again, we mentioned that 850 OPS. So already looking like a true big leaguer with the Cubbies here. And that might be a trade in a couple of years where even if Jackson Ferris does work out for the Dodgers, I think a lot of Cubs fans are going to look back and say, yeah, that was the move to make. Go after the team that literally just, you had Hall of Famers at arguably every single position that Michael Busch played. Go out and get the guy that's blocked and bring him in to fill a position in need. And he's been absolutely sensational. So wanted to bring light and some love to the guy who, I mean, effectively was the Cubs offense tonight in Michael Busch. And he's been really good to start this season. Tyler, unfortunately, this game just lacked a lot. But one thing I do want to bring up here to before we start to talk a little bit about this Mariners series coming up over the weekend. I think a game like tonight now, and of course hindsight's 2020, but this is why Monday's game becomes that much more painful, because it's one late inning collapse when you have a huge lead away from, instead of a series win, you walk away with a series loss. Because I'll tell you right now, the Cubs, if they won that first game on Monday night and then you win on Tuesday, they walk into this game and say, hey, if we have a bad night, so be it. We have an off day tomorrow. We go to Seattle. We got three games with the Mariners up there. They're off to a little bit of a rough start to begin the year. Maybe we can, you know, take another two out of three. And they, again, you keep winning series. If you keep doing that throughout the course of the year, your record's going to look fantastic when we get to September. But now, that I feel like that loss just becomes a little more amplified. I don't think it's going to be amplified over the course of the season necessarily, but at least this week when we're all sitting here and you know, it's in our recent memory, that Monday night loss is really just – that one kind of feels like kind of a kick in the pants, because it's like, oh, like you're that close. You're that close to, again, a series win versus now you're talking about a series loss against a team like the Padres, who are a good ball club. You could have had three consecutive series wins over at least decent ball clubs. I know the Rockies are considered to be bad, but they've given teams a run for them. They gave the Cubs a run for their money in that last game especially. But then you go out, you win two out of three against the Dodgers. If you were able to follow that up with a two out of three against the Padres and then bringing that momentum into that Seattle series, it just feels like a totally different tune. And kind of like filmmaker 12 said in the comments to lead this show off, you know, you come in now after this game with a really salty feeling. Sure, maybe we're still having these conversations about Kyle Hendricks tonight, but I think the overall morale is a lot different if they win that game on Monday and you and I are sitting here like, they lost, but they still won the series, and you know, we move forward and we put it in the rear view. Now it's like, damn, that Monday game hurts a little extra tonight.
Oh, yeah, for sure it does. And I talked about it a few, I want to say maybe it was during the Rocky series, like good teams take advantage of opportunities when they're supposed to. Like the good teams take advantage of those opportunities that when they hand it to you, when they put it on the tee for you, you take it and you run with it. And everybody knows West Coast trips suck. They do. Like sure the way West Coast is nice, great, but like just, I mean, the travel, the change in time zone, the different game start times and everything like that. Everybody knows it sucks. It really, really sucks. And I hope tonight is the last night until later down the road at the end of the season, maybe even at the end of the season, that I will even talk about that, about Monday night's game. And I feel like they brought it up a lot today during the broadcast, but Juice had a good idea as far as, he talked about a new stat we were going to keep up here on Cubs on Tap called character wins. And to kind of counter that, I have started a list, I don't know what I want to call it yet, like an uncharacteristic list of losses or whatever you want to call it. Kind of like if anybody watches wrestling, there's a guy named Chris Jericho that had a list.
Yep.
If you got on, you just made the list.
A list.
You don't want to be on the list. And so Monday night's game was the first night, the first game that made the list. You don't want to be on that list. Maybe I'll just call it the list of Tyler, the list of Teddy. Maybe that's what I'll call it. Teddy's list. I'm going to think of something. But okay. Everybody knows you can't win a division. You cannot win a division in April and May. But you can lose a division in April and May and June. I get it, Tyler. It's early, but it's early. That's great. We said that last year too. We say it all. Everybody says it all the time. They're like, it's early. But then how early is too early, or maybe how early is too late, however you want to call it. Like, you know, I'm already like past the whole, oh, it's early. Let's just hope. And they know it. Everybody, tomorrow's an off day. Forget about it. Wipe it clean. You've got a tough team. I know their record. This time of the season, you look at records. Yeah, Seattle's under 500. Seattle's a good team. Seattle is a good team. They are.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of like with the stats you talked about earlier with the Cubs being number two in baseball. They were number one in runs per game up until tonight. But we watched tonight's game, and it's just like, man, they couldn't get nothing going offensively. So stats early on, they're good. But they also can be maybe a little misleading, a little bit. Seattle, like I said, Seattle's a tough team on the road. Yeah. So, yeah, let's just hope they can erase this series. I know it sucks. It sucks. It could have been completely different, like you said. We could have been rolling in tonight talking about a series win. Okay, that's fine. Forget about it. Let's just move on.
Well put. Absolutely. I agree. And let's move on, Tyler. We'll put the San Diego series in the rearview mirror. I agree with you, though, on that Monday game. Hopefully this is the last night we talk about it. You know, ideally this Cubs team gets back on track. They continue to compound their number of wins and, you know, that record being above 500 from here on out. Again, April is a hard month for this Cubs team, probably the hardest month for this team schedule-wise. From here, it gets a lot easier. And in general, too, especially late in the season when these games are going to matter, they're going to have some teams that they can really beat up on and try to, you know, really capture this division when it comes down to it. It's going to be a tight race for a while. We saw the Pirates last year start off on a hot note, and they're doing so again this year. Pretty much every NL Central team's off to a hot start. But again, water finds its level, kind of like you said, right? Early season stats are great, but water eventually finds its level. And in the case of a lot of these teams, the truly good teams will figure out ways to win, and the not-so-good ones will find ways to lose. And hopefully the Cubs are on the that former side and are considered one of those good teams and find some ways to win. Because, as you said, Tyler, they have a good team coming up in Seattle this weekend. Thursday is an off day, so no show from us tomorrow. You probably actually won't hear from us again at Cubs on Tap unless there's a kind of an impromptu, very late-night Friday show, because it is an 8:40 start time in the Central time zone. Otherwise, we'll see you guys on Sunday after that series finale to talk about this Mariners game. So a couple days off for us, an off day for the Cubs tomorrow to put this one in the mirror. But the Cubs do open on Friday in Seattle, Washington at T-Mobile Park. That is, again, an 8:40 start time Central time zone. The Cubbies will be trotting out left-hander Jordan Wicks. And he will go against right-hander Bryce Miller, one of the many young pitchers on the Seattle Mariners staff, just 25 years old. He's 1-1 so far in two starts this year, 3 ERA flat. He's got 12 innings of work under his belt so far in those two starts. And the rest of the weekend, on Saturday, it is Shota Imanaga going for the Cubbies against the 24-year-old right-hander Emerson Hancock. Hancock, he's been beat up a little bit, 11.42 ERA so far this year in two starts as well. He is also 1-1, though, 8 2/3 thrown on the season. And then Sunday's game, they listed as a TBD for the Cubbies. I think it's all safe but to say that it'll probably be Ben Brown going on Sunday for the Cubs, unless Justin Steele magically is healthy and ready to return from the IL. He should be coming up on that 15-day now. Where he can be activated, but I have not heard anything, nor do we know if he's going to be activated anytime soon. So if it's not Steele again, it'd probably be Ben Brown. He'll go against Luis Castillo, who's an unfortunate 0-3 to start the year for the Mariners with a 6.89 ERA. So Tyler, talk to me. What is this Cubs team going to need to do in order to win some ball games and potentially take a series win over the weekend?
That offense we've talked about that so far has started off hot has got to wake up starting Friday and just freaking smoke the baseball. Jordan Wicks, man, Saturday, I know Saturday, that Saturday game against the Dodgers, his last start. Yeah, they lost, but Jordan Wicks was it's like we talked about it earlier. Jordan Wicks was a freaking dog on Saturday. So if he can bring that same type of mentality, that same kind of outing, I know that's a hard ask for a team that's traveling West Coast to Seattle, but man, if he can do anything like he showed on Saturday, should be a good pitching matchup, because Bryce Miller, he was like one of the top prospects last season coming into this year. So it could be really good pitching matchup. But the offense, man, if the guys, if the bats can just light fire early, I think that's good things will happen. And look, Friday, I know we got an off, or no, Thursday, sorry, Thursday. Thursday's there's an off day. But Cubs fans, if you guys are wanting to get something to freaking just drool over, go look up Christopher Morel and Seiya Suzuki's Baseball Savant page. It looks like a freaking horror film. It looks like if you ever watched the Saw movies, how gory, how blood red gory they are. Look at freaking Morel and Suzuki's Baseball Savant's page. It'll put you in a better mood. I promise. You may even have to wear sunglasses. Get you some solar eclipse glasses because it's freaking bright red on those Savant pages. And so let's just hope those two guys, let's just hope their bats are just freaking scorching on fire starting on Friday.
Yeah, well put. And indeed, Morel and Seiya off the hot starts. And yeah, Jordan Wicks, just backing up what you had to say here, Tyler. I mean, he hasn't gone a ton of distance two starts yet. He's only gone 4 2/3 is the most he's gone. But to your point, it just looking back on these first two starts, that start against Texas, 4 innings, he worked really hard in those 4 innings too. And that was, you know, the game that they ultimately were able to come back and finish off in that series and you know, get their first win of the season, even though he didn't pick up the record in that game. He gave up the 5 runs, but only 2 of which were earned because of the defense just being everywhere. He walked 3, struck out 6, but you talked about it. How good was he against the Dodgers? 4 2/3, threw 100 pitches, 6 hits. He gave up the 2 earned runs, but only 1 walk and 7 punch-outs. I mean, Jordan Wicks looked like that dude. And again, a guy who I think a lot of people forget barely pitched last year at the major league level. I mean, he came up in a playoff race and delivered as a guy who was a top 10 prospect in this farm. He continues to do that coming out so far this season. And I just think he's going to get better as the year goes on. Truly. I really
agree.
Do.
Agree.
So I agree with you. Friday night's matchup. It's a late game. If you're willing to stay up a little late, you don't got to go to work on Saturday.
Oh, stay up late. It's Friday, guys. It's
exactly.
Friday.
Exactly.
It's Friday. Stay up and watch it.
That's the one to tune into 100%. That'll be a good one. And even Saturday night's game, again, Shota's on the bump.
Yeah.
And he's become must-watch TV. And then Sunday, a good old 3 o'clock afternoon game. We'll be live with you guys after that one. Be sure to tune into that one as well and watch what will likely be Ben Brown against Luis Castillo. I agree with you. The offense needs to show up, Tyler, because the strength of this Mariners team is their pitching staff. Let's just call it what it is. They need to come out and they need to get after these guys early. If you can chase the starters, force them to wear down their bullpen in the early game, maybe you get to them in that second game as well. Maybe you line yourself up for a tough fought, you know, series sweep if all goes right.
This team, with what you just said, this team has done that several times so far. They did it to Bobby Miller. They did it to
Yu Darvish,
Gavin Stone, Yu Darvish.
They did it to Musgrove last night.
Musgrove last night. They can do that. So, yeah, like you said, if they can work the counts, make these pitchers throw a lot of pitches early, who knows? Good things can happen.
I agree. Again, it's Friday and Saturday night's game, 8:40 Central Time Zone starts, 3:10 on Sunday will be the start time for that one. I believe all of these will be – oh, no, I'm sorry. Friday nights will be on Apple TV, folks. So you got to get the old Apple TV again for this year for those weird Friday night games. But Saturday, Marquee Sports Network and MLB Network for those that are out of market. And the same goes for Sunday's game as well. That'll be MLB Network and Marquee Sports Network as well for those two games. A couple of comments here really quick, Tyler, before we start to wind this thing down. Bernie says, F the Padres, and calls Ross. Yeah, I'm right there with you. And she calls.
Agree with both.
Morel and Suzuki all-stars. I would love to see that. And then my dad chiming in. It's weird not seeing Ross behind me. Yeah, right now it's a box. Eventually, there's going to be some stuff on this wall at some point in time. I don't know what, but we're in the early stages of getting things moved.
Well, speaking of that, just a little tease real quick. You were talking about getting some on your wall. I just got a frame in the mail that let's just say I'm going to have a new piece to the wall right there. If I can do my finger right there.
Ooh.
And it's, let's just say it's pretty cool.
It's okay.
Cool.
Now I'm excited. You got me all fired up. I'm ready to see what it is. I'm right there with you. I feel pressured to decorate my wall. I need to
No, don't. You got
to get some good stuff. I got some good stuff. I mean, for those that watch Four Feathers podcast, we'll get the Marian Hossa banner up there too. And that'll be hanging up at some point. We do have some friendly decorations that'll be behind me at some point here. But the old Patrick Wisdom bobblehead, JD and Boog as well. So we're not totally, you know, we're not totally without Cubs gear here to put up. But we'll get there. We'll get there. And my dad says, share more, Tyler. He wants to know as well.
You'll just have to tune in to the next episode.
Just got to tune in to Cubs on Tap. I like it. What a teaser. Also, quick shout out. We haven't been really able to do a whole lot in terms of promoting them so far to begin the season, but we do have our great friends over at Homage. We've been doing a lot with them. We did the opening day giveaway with them. A lot of you that listen to Cubs on Tap pretty regularly saw that. I'm actually rocking one of their probably their coolest t-shirts, in my humble opinion. It's the MLB Jam Dansby Swanson Cody Bellinger edition. I was waiting till Cody re-signed to buy this, but yeah. I've had this in the cart since like probably October of last year.
Those shorts, those Homage shorts that was in that box, those were awesome.
They are. They're sweet.
Like, I want those. I need those.
Homage is cool stuff, man. We'll be posting a bunch of cool graphics throughout the year as well with some links that if you go through those affiliate links and you buy some cool Homage stuff, you're also supporting Cubs on Tap and on Tap Sportsnet. Yep. So we appreciate you guys. But again, want to give a big shout out to them. I'll tell you what, Tyler, I did a big – so we got some shirts for them when we started the partnership with them last year. I went ahead and bought more shirts. In a variety. I got some plain ones because I like wearing them out and about.
I've got a couple of them too.
They're the comfiest t-shirts in the world. Yes, they are my favorite t-shirts I own. I'm not even blowing smoke because we have a partnership with them.
Those June, July, August games at Wrigley, a good old fashioned Homage shirt. Ooh. Man, it just keeps you cool, man. It keeps you cool.
It's going to keep you cool. And again, they're cool looking. I actually got a compliment on this one tonight. As a matter of fact, I walked over to the little grocery store here. And the guy was like, I like your MLB Jam t-shirt there. I'm like, hey, thanks. I appreciate that. It's a cool one, man. It's a really, really cool one. We got some late joiners here in the comments section, Tyler, that I want to give love to. I don't want to let go of them before we sign off here. But our boy Hank says, this reminds me of last year when the Cubs lost the first 8 starts of Tyones. Put them in a big hole. He doesn't have the patience to watch Kyle do the same thing. I think that's totally fair. And then Dave Snyder here, shoes and flops fans, as he calls it. Kyle is washed up, folks. Don't think he'll pull out of it anytime soon, if at all. Time to move on. Brown and Smiley are way better starters now. I would say at least Brown. I don't know about Smiley. I think Smiley is also just destined to the pen for the rest of his career as well. He's kind of a one-trick pony with that knuckle curve if he's not hitting with the fastball. So, but I agree with you. We talked about it as well early on. Just rough night again for Kyle, and be interesting to see what the future holds. And Tyler, one kind of final thought, at least from me, and then I want to give you the mic for any final thoughts as well. But I think what we've learned, and I've learned so much from doing the Cubs on Tap shows with you guys and us covering this team over the course of a season, is you really get to see the evolution of the roster from opening day to the middle of the season to the end of the year, right? Yeah. Like, this roster is going to look completely different probably by August and September than it does right now. That's just the nature of the beast. So it'll be really interesting to see what decisions are made, and I'm sure Kyle Hendricks might be a part of that. So it'll be something that we'll keep an eye on, and we might see Cade Horton this year. We might see guys like Owen Casey and Matt Shaw.
Cole Franklin just got promoted to AAA.
Sure did. Friend of the program. Early friend of the program. We had Cole Franklin on. A fun story quickly about Cole Franklin. We had Cole Franklin on back in 2020. So we had him on during the shutdown, actually. He was at home in Oklahoma with it masked up and all at a Walmart, walking around and doing an interview with us that comes on Tap. Wow. And this was when, folks, before StreamYard, we used to do everything on Skype and record it and then turn it into a podcast. I mean, the early infancy days of Cubs on Tap. So again, Cole Franklin, friend of the program. Good to see him getting a call to Iowa. And maybe he's a guy that, you know, even if he comes up as a bullpen arm at some point this year, maybe he's a guy that we see.
I know real quick that you guys, they may have talked about it last night. Patrick Wisdom. Looks like he is making his way back. I think he made his second start tonight.
And he has been hitting the living shit out of the ball at the AAA level. He'll be back real soon. So another power bat that they can add to this bench and join the likes of guys like Garrett Cooper and some of the other names there as well. So It'll certainly be fun to see. One more quick comment here from Dave before we wrap this thing up. He says, players, Cubs need to get rid of themselves. Quas, Palencia, and Mastroboni, they bring nothing to the team. Not a zilch. Mastro looks to break PCA record of 0-19. And then
it sounds like David, you just need to do it. Just make you a list. Just make your
make a list.
Just make a list.
Can we call it the not a zilch list? Because I think that's like
the not a zilch list. There you go. There you go, David.
Not a zilch. That means they don't do shit for the Cubbies. I like it. And Scott says hit a dinger tonight. Hashtag called it with wisdom. Unfortunately, he wasn't part of the dinger picks. But
was that two? I think that is that.
I think that's two. I think that's two in Iowa now in this on this rehab trip. Speaking of dinger picks, really quick update here. Juice is absolutely lighting the world on fire.
Gosh. Yeah.
He's got, what, five already to start the year? Yeah, he's leading everybody.
I told him Sunday. I think he's cheating. I think he has like a time machine or something. Or maybe he knows where the bodies are buried or something too. I don't know.
Not only Quas, like, it's him too.
Yeah, it's probably it has the makings of, you know, okay, you've got the Shohei story that started off the season as far as is he gambling, is he not? The next story is Juice and the home run picks. Like, what does he know?
Is he cheating? Traveler?
Is he not? Is he a time traveler? Is he not? So, I mean, it's going to be like the groundbreaking story of baseball probably when it's all said and done. Yeah.
I like
that's
it.
That's the only
I like
thing it. I can think because I don't know what else it could be. I really don't know what else it could be.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I'll tell you what, though. Juice is leading the way with five. Booge hit on Bush tonight, so he's now technically in second place with three. Jake Bunowski over at Dingers. And then mostly everybody else has either two or one except me. I am still 0-for to start the year. Hell with PCA's 0-for-19 streak. I might be 0-for-19 to start the year at this point with the digger picks because it has been not great, Bob. Yeah. Not great at all.
Not good.
I still haven't picked Sayar or Morale. I think I'm just being an idiot. I need to just pick one of them one day. And
you know, if you just pick them for like, you know, just go with one guy and that's the guy you're just over and over and over and over. But then the bad thing would be is if they go on like a homeless streak. And
then it's my fault.
It goes all the way back down to you, Ron. And then it's like, my fault. Ron's the reason.
Right.
And then you'll have like people outside your window just like shouting and.
Yeah, with pitchforks and axes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't do it. So
gosh, I don't know how to help you, Ron. I don't
know how to help myself. I joked on the old X app the other day that I might have to do some weird, embarrassing like thing just to like as a sacrifice to the baseball gods to at least get one right. Because I can't end April on an 0-for streak. Like if I end April on an 0-for streak, I might as well just go jump in ice cold Lake Michigan at that point.
If you end April on an 0-for streak. I feel like that's you have to do some type
have
of
to weird, go run into the lake
ritual thing, something, yeah,
yeah,
some way to just erase all the bad juju or something.
I would say I have to go like over to Nisei Lounge and have a Chicago handshake with Mai Tai guy, but I'm actually starting to oddly enjoy the combination of Malort and Old Style. I don't know if it's just the Cubs fan in me, but that doesn't even feel like punishment at this point, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I got to sit on here for. So I don't, Tyler. I don't know if you saw, but we had a guy who's commented along with us quite a few times here at Cubs on Tap. Very unhappy that we don't do live streams during Cubs games.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to do a 9-for-9 challenge, a 9-9-9 challenge, live streaming a Cubs game.
Oh, I'd be so down to be on that.
Yeah, you want to just sit there and watch me just choke down hot dogs for 9 innings?
Oh yeah, I got you. I'd be your motivator. Just,
all right. I'll tell you what. If we get to like the end of next week and we haven't even sniffed a freaking dinger pick yet, that might have to happen. So be on the lookout for that.
All right.
I'll get you that information as well. Another quick comment here from Dave. We want to share your guys' thoughts just as much as we want to share ours. He says Hendricks may be an improvement if he replaces Quas in the pen, which he's not saying as much, but Cubs need to fix the bullpen now and stop Hendricks from starting in more until further notice. Yeah, all things that we talked about here on tonight's show, Dave. I know you unfortunately able to join us late, but that's going to be a storyline, truly, I think, that we watch over the rest of the season. And my dad reminds us that we are nuts, and I know we are nuts, and that's why we do this. Yeah. We do this for your entertainment. This is just it's a way that we can entertain people with our crazy personality. That's just the way it be. So, Tyler, what do you say, sir? Any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Hey, just forget about it.
I like it.
R-E-L-A-X. This bullpen, I get it. It's getting on everybody's nerves. Craig Counsell, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. It's going to be fine. It's okay.
All right. Just breathe. I need like an ASMR bedtime storytelling of Tyler whispering, because that was just, I'm relaxed now from that. I'll be brutally honest with you. Just the zen of Tyler Edmonds.
Either really good or really bad. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, we can always try it and see what happens. As my dad jokes, we joked about it the other night on here as well. Like the White Sox say, just flush it. That's definitely the way we got to approach this series. Yeah, my final thoughts, man. I think it's a well-needed off day for this Cubs team. I think after especially a really weird series on the West Coast, maybe that gives them an extra day to adapt to the West Coast and being in that Western time, kind of that Pacific time zone. And then ultimately, you got a tough test ahead with the Mariners for 3 this weekend. Again, there might be an impromptu, show on Friday night. If it is, it's probably going to be Joey and Nick. I might be on as well. We'll see. Who knows? We'll see. Well, you guys will know when we know, because we don't know right now. But we will for sure be back following Sunday's game. Again, that's a 3 o'clock start, so we'll probably be live with you guys sometime between, I would probably say, the 7 and 8 o'clock hour. We won't be right after the game, most likely, but do be on the lookout for those, as we will get with you there. Hank said in the comments, gonna trust Counsell until he proves otherwise. And Dave says, Cubs lose 2 out of 3, should have won 2 out of 3. 100%. And hopefully it's not more the same as Dave insists that it could be. But Tyler, before we get out of here, want to remind everybody again, we are Cubs on Tap, but we also have friends over at the Dingers Podcast. We're in a race with them for Dinger Picks this year. If you want to get involved too, you can. We post them. They post them every single day on X. Be sure to keep an eye out for those. You can chime in and be a part of it as well. And hey, if you start getting some right, keep track. Let us know. And maybe the person that gets the most right by the end of the year will get some type of cool thing that we can provide you at the end of the year. But right now it's Juice out in front. And then it's Jake Lunowski leading the way for the Dingers group. So it's been a good one there. But follow them as well at Dinger Cubs on the socials, and follow all those guys as well individually. Be sure to follow us as well at Cubbies on Tap on the socials. I am at Loose on Tap, at Teddy Freddy 270 over here, at Juice on Tap, Joey Knows Nothing, at Nick _ on Tap as well. And again, big shout out to our boy Bobby Foster. He's been doing a great job on the writing front for us on the Cubs side of the house. He'll be on the microphone before the season's over. We're going to get Bobby on a show. He's been phenomenal. He is at SilentBob_2 on the old socials. And again, he's been absolutely killing it on the writing side for the Cubbies. Be sure to give all them love. Cubs fans, you know the drill. Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks. We got it all. Blackhawks season winding down, as well as the Bulls season. They'll be in the play-in tournament. And Bears draft is right around the corner. If you haven't been reading the Building the Board project here at ONTAP Sportsnet, be sure to do so. Quentin and the boys have done an incredible job. I've pitched in incredibly minorly into that project, but they have put hours into those scouting reports. And again, it's going to be a big month coming up now for the Bears, where they pretty much essentially shape their future for 2024 and beyond. And again, Cubs fans, you know the drill. You got friends that like the Southsiders. So do we. Send your friends to our friends. They can be friends over at Sox on Tap. The ONTAP Sportsnet, ontapsportsnet.com, at ONTAP Sportsnet on the socials, the ONTAP Sportsnet. Go and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Tyler, it's always a pleasure, my friend, joining you on the microphone. Unfortunately, it is after a loss and ultimately a series loss, but an off day and a weekend series with the Mariners coming up on the schedule. And, buddy, what do you say? We got out here the only way we know how Cubs on Tap.
Hey, it's like our good friend Scott from Iowa said, at least the Cardinals lost. So you know what? If we can't have fun tonight, you guys can't either. So from the bottom of my heart, I say truly, deeply, madly, passionately, FTC. If you know, you know. Yeah.
And let's go, Cubbies, baby.